There are some in your field who claim that extraterrestrials are out to hurt us, that they're evil. Some say, dimensional, and they talk about devils, but let's not get into that right now.
Right.
But they do believe that there's an agenda here. And very interested with what you said just a moment ago, that fear controls people. And I'm wondering if they have steered people in the direction to let them think and believe that these extraterrestrials are out for evil purposes in order to continue that fear, or really if there is something going on. David Jacobs, for example, believes that these extraterrestrials are abducting people, conducting horrible experiments, and that they have an agenda.
Right. Well, I think there's a conflation of experiences people have with an interpretive spin that's decidedly xenophobic. I remember speaking with Monsignor Balducci at the Vatican a few years ago, and he was a theologian to the Pope, and he was actually a demonologist. And I brought this issue up with him. He says, absolutely, devils and angels don't need to fly in a flying saucer in a spacecraft.
I
said, you're absolutely right. And we discussed this, and and when I began to bring up this issue of whether there's the good ETs and the bad ETs, and he looked at me and he said, and this is a hilarious quote that's actually in the disclosure book that has his testimony along with a lot of the military people, and he said, lower than humanity there cannot be in the entire universe. So he says, what are we talking about? Who pot call the kettle black? Seriously, I think that my perspective on this, having had contact with these ETs over a lot of my life and having led expeditions all over the world where we've had very close encounters and amazing things happen with these beings and with the craft at close range, my view of it is that most of the information that tends to scare people is either misinterpreted or it's deliberately hoaxed. Now, one of the things I found as I began to research this and got, and it's sort of like an onion. You keep pulling back layers and layers, and you think you're at the core of it, and you got 38 more layers to go.
Yeah.
And
you're crying along the way.
And you're crying along the way, and it stinks to high heaven. But the bottom line is that I have found that there are very well-organized counterintelligence operations that use things called ARVs, alien reproduction vehicles, and have creatures that look like aliens, but they're man-made, and that they have engaged in all manner of psychological warfare programs, which unless you had been read into those programs, unless you had met with people, and I have met with multiple independent corroborating people who have seen these disinformation projects at work, you would be could be forgiven for thinking that it was actually an extraterrestrial encounter. And I think that this has been done deliberately, and I liken it to, if you have a gold nugget and you really want to hide it, well, the best way is to dump a whole ton of fool's gold on top of it. And unfortunately, I don't think that we've done a very good job of doing an assay to figure out what's the fool's gold and what's the real thing. And when you realize that there is an enormous multi-trillion dollar interest group that wants to keep the public deceived on this, never mind the $1 trillion a year military-industrial laboratory complex, you begin to realize that it would be very easy to infiltrate and subvert the civilian UFO community and the media on this issue so that there would be an ongoing stream of disinformation, but not just disinformation that's just false on the face, but which has a decidedly negative spin so that eventually, as Wernher von Braun told one of our witnesses, they could justify a war in space and the militarization and weaponization of space and the targeting of other planetary systems. And I think that this is one of the real risks of the current era, is that as Eisenhower said to one of our witnesses, this whole matter was not going to be in the best of hands, and he knew it. And I've had a number of people at the level of presidential intelligence tell me that they knew that this issue was going to slip out of the control of the constitutional authorities into this transnational superstate that's very shadowy, and that their agendas do not necessarily coincide with the best interests of either the United States or of humanity. And I think that it's very easy then to hoax events, to disinform the public, mm-hmm. and to frighten people. And I think that a lot of people, what I say to people is that you really can't judge whether it's extraterrestrial or human until you've penetrated the covert world of human projects and seen what our capabilities consist of. When I interviewed a man who in 1953 had witnessed the teleportation and dematerialization of a solid object from one point of an Air Force base to another point on an Air Force base, and this was before I was a twinkle in my father's eye, that the technologies that we have that are within classified projects can hoax a great deal. And because that has not been studied adequately, and because it has not been disclosed adequately, our leaders in Washington and elsewhere, as well as the public, are very vulnerable to deception. Now, my military advisor, when we went to the Pentagon to brief the head of the Defense Intelligence Agency a couple years ago, said that one of the chief things we had to do was give a heads up to him and to, before we met with him, the head of intelligence for the Joint Staff, about what he called a deceptive indication and warning, or a false IMW. And what that is when a deeply covert program rolls out a hoaxed event that then manipulates the military, mm-hmm. the intelligence community, the political leadership, the media, and the public into a given direction.
And these things have happened. Example. Sure, they've happened before.
Oh, it's happening all the time.
Yeah.
And this is the mother of all deceptions. I call it the cosmic Gulf of Tonkin scenario. And one of the men who had been on one of the planning sessions back in the 70s, this is about 1974, who was at the briefings that we did for members of Congress in 97, he turned to me and he says, you know, I sat in on meetings that were interagency and corporate meetings, very, very covert, where we discussed the use of these Lockheed Martin and Northrop alien reproduction vehicles and these creatures that look like grays that are actually what are called PLFs, program life forms, to stage an attack on the Earth so that we could then convince people that they needed to spend trillions more in weaponizing space. And he says, we've had this rate of rollout since the 60s. My mouth dropped open then. I didn't realize that the guy could possibly be telling the truth. But I have since met with multiple independent corroborating witnesses who confirmed this, that we have had, at least since the 60s, maybe before, the capacity to simulate extraterrestrial events. And this is the part where people don't want to look. They do not want to look into this black box, because that's what's really frightening.